The scripture this morning is very short. I asked Mark if that's all there was and if he was going to talk about it, and he said, well, no, but maybe. So listen up. In today's scripture, Jesus, the first century revolutionary teacher, is speaking with his disciples in Galilee, probably north of Nazareth and Bethsaida. Some people brought their babies to Jesus so that he would place his hands on them. The disciples watched and scolded the people. But Jesus called the children to himself. And then he told his disciples, "Do not stop them. Let the children come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, like a child, will never enter it." Then a Jewish leader asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus looked at him. "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God."
Good morning. It's good to see you here. I know we have people traveling, but we are very appreciative of those who are here. My message this morning is entitled, "When Jesus Wasn't God." Now, it's a long understanding in Christianity that in Jesus, God became fully human. Fully human, fully divine, which admittedly is a calculation that's never really made much sense to me. Now, for that matter, it would seem that very few ever have thought that it makes a lot of sense. We actually explain the belief by saying that it's simply one of the mysteries of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, telling me that I should believe in something that seems like a mystery, exactly because it's mysterious, well, that just isn't going to cut it. Now, unfortunately for me and for others who are members of mainline Protestant denominations, it's sort of required of us. Now, in my opinion, most institutionalized churches define who is and who isn't Christian, well, they define it far too narrowly. As a matter of fact, there's an increasingly long list of tenets to which a person must dogmatically adhere to in order to be in the club. The thing is, as a Christian minister, I don't believe some of them. I even find them, some of them, to be very biblically inaccurate. I've also discovered that there are a lot of people who feel this exact same way, even other ministers. Now, this is particularly true of the belief that Jesus is God. Now, in part, that's because there was a time when Jesus wasn't God. Or at least a time when he didn't see himself as God, nor did many of his followers. Now don't get me wrong. I am a believer, mostly. I believe that there is probably a God, something bigger than us. And I truly have a very hard time believing that there's not something bigger than humanity. I mean, seriously. I just find it hard to believe that we are the best thing the universe has to offer. That just seems a bit egotistical to me, not to mention a bit unfortunate for the universe. And ultimately, I just don't buy it. I also believe that there might not be a God, or at least, at the very least, I frequently feel the absence of God. Even King David was ascribed to have felt the absence of God. It's all over the Psalms. So I really I really don't feel bad about doubting at all. If anything, it feels normal. It's even why I've come to think of myself at times as an agnostic Christian. I believe there is a God. I'm also open to the idea that there might not be. It's probably the reason why one of my favorite verses is, "I believe, help me in my disbelief." When I think about and study about God, I think about and study about the God who is all at once bigger than me and might not be at all. It's the same God I believe Jesus was trying to teach us about. In calling God Father, Jesus tried to teach us about the nurturing nature of God. And in saying that He and the Father were one, He was trying to teach us about how we all are one in this God thing that is larger than us. And in telling us that in loving other people, everyone, we are loving God. He was trying to teach us about the connectedness we all have because of this thing we call God. I'm a Christian because Jesus, for me, is the teacher who best helps me understand this God thing. When he worshiped, he worshiped that same God. He didn't worship himself. He even told his disciples not to worship him. As a matter of fact, from my studies, I don't believe that Jesus ever called himself God. When you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you won't find him saying it. Sure, there are places where you can sort of interpret what Jesus said to possibly suggest he is God, but as I pointed out, in most of those cases, he isn't saying his oneness with God is unique to him. If anything, he's suggesting that it is a part of all of us. It connects us, and it should inspire us to love one another. Now, one thing is certain. In the first three books of the Bible, Jesus definitely does not say in any straightforward way that he is God. In the books that follow, accredited to Paul, the books that were actually written the closest to Jesus' death, we also don't have a recording of Jesus saying that he was God. You have to ask yourself, something that important, don't you think Jesus might have mentioned it? And that when he did mention it, don't you think that someone would have decided it was maybe sort of kind of important to jot it down? I don't know about you, but I certainly think so. Now, the Gospel of John does have Jesus mentioning the whole being God thing quite a bit at times. The difference is kind of a bit striking, though, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, the first three Gospels and all the books of Paul, all written before the Gospel of John, without Jesus saying he's God. And then John, after many years have passed, has Jesus saying that he's God. Does anyone else think that sounds like dogma may have slipped in there somewhere in the in-between years? Well, actually, they do. Most modern scholars agree that John has some new theological perspectives added to its accounting of the life of Jesus that weren't in any of the other New Testament books. Those scholars may or may not be right, but particularly because of the first three Gospels, I'm going to go with the idea that the theological position that Jesus thought of himself as God was probably a late addition to early followers' understanding of who Jesus was. As a New Testament scholar, Bart Ehrman, points out in his book, How Jesus Became God, during those times, the Greek and Roman influences led people to believe that indeed, gods do become human, but only temporarily. And humans do become gods, typically fairly permanently. But only after they have served their role in life that leads to them being adopted into sort of the divine realm. So to our modern minds, particularly to our dualistically thinking Western minds, this can sometimes be difficult to wrap our heads around. Like when I opened this message saying fully human and fully God doesn't seem to add up to me. What we have to remember is that the people from Jesus' times, and even stretching back well before them, they weren't stuck with our sort of dualistic mindset of human versus divine. For them, there simply wasn't so much separation between the two. In fact, they frequently overlapped. And as I pointed out, Ehrman tells us that this overlapping of human and divine typically in their day and age happened in two ways. One, a God becomes human. And this was almost always a very temporary situation. Or two, a human at the end of their life is elevated to the status of God. Now, given that in Christianity, at least the majority of modern Christianity and its theology, given that in it Jesus is not understood to have been only temporarily a God, we are left to consider that he was at some point probably elevated to the status of God. Given that, it seems likely, entirely likely to me, that this was the actual scenario. Jesus was born human, went through and experienced life as a human. And in the course of time, he was understood to do miraculous things as others in his time were. And then, much like the people then did with some kings, upon his death, they deified Jesus. And in this case, it was upon his death and the belief in his resurrection that his followers began slowly elevating him to the level of God. See, the reality is that the early Christians who did think that Jesus was God thought of him as a human who became God. Most of them would point to what they understood to be Jesus' resurrection as the moment that Jesus moved from being human to being divine. Which is really sort of odd if you stop long enough to think about it. I mean, as I suggested earlier, the majority of Christian theology today insist that we believe that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine in his entire life. How did we start at one understanding, at his resurrection, Jesus became divine, and end up with Jesus was always divine as well as always human? How did we make the leap? Well, those of you who have spent some time studying the history of the Bible or Christian doctrine in general, you won't be surprised that the answer to the question ties back to the conversion of Constantine and the Council of Nicaea in 325 CE. As a matter of fact, the formation of the council, which was the first of its kind in its attempt to address theological outlooks for the whole of Christianity, the formation of the council happened precisely because of the question of the divinity of Jesus. As for Constantine, well, Constantine, he found the question to be extremely trivial in his spiritual life. But he did see Christianity as a way to unite his very fragmented kingdom. So he believed that arriving at a definitive answer on the question of the divinity of Jesus was in his best interest. And ultimately, because of it, the council presented a creed that was to be binding for all of Christianity, which said that Jesus is and always was part of God. The language actually said of the same substance of God. So, Jesus was fully human and fully God. The vote was 298 in favor of the creed and 20 against it. Sort of. Like I said, Constantine wanted wanted a united answer to this issue. So he ended up forcing 17 of those 20s, of those 20, to sign on to the new creed. The other three, they were banished from Egypt. I guess it really is good to be the king. When you roll all of this information together, it leaves me with the conclusion that, in spite of the teachings of the Christian church since the Council of Nicaea, during his life and teachings, Jesus was not God, or more specifically, he didn't believe himself to be. And for me, Jesus not being God is a good thing, a really good thing. If what we hope to get from the life and teachings of Jesus is to learn how to love one another and how to develop a closer relationship and understanding of God through it, and for me it is, it's much more helpful to see a person who is actually a person doing it rather than a God doing it. It's even hopeful. Do I believe that Jesus had a unique relationship with God? Well, it's hard to read the Gospels and think anything other than that. But I don't need him to be a God in order to believe that. I'm also completely comfortable with folks who believe, much like the earliest Christians did, that after his death, Jesus was elevated to the status of God. In the end, though, I'm not trying to say that I am right and others are wrong. I'm saying that given its long history on this issue, And the record that we have in the New Testament, not to mention the teachings of Jesus himself, like the reading today when he said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." Christianity should be big enough for a variety of thought. I guess I'm also saying God can handle our questions. Maybe we should step out on faith enough to allow for the same things.